Welcome to the Simon Parkes Connecting Consciousness Show on Wolf Spirit Radio. Simon actively encourages you to post your questions live to him in the chat room at wolfspiritradio.com/listen or call in on 0141 356 4141. Call in on 0141 356 4141. The next 2 hours will be full of debate, interview guests and up-to-date news. Please join Simon and play an active role. Connecting Consciousness Show. You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.
There you go. You're on the air, Simon.
Thank you. Well, hello, wonderful. It's my second show, and today you've just got me. If you remember my first show, we had a guest, Wyn Keach, and we didn't get through as many questions as I would have liked. So today, hopefully, with your help, Jay, we will get through as many questions as we can.
Good, good. Right, well, we seem to have a caller already, so do you want to take that person? Do you want to take that call, Simon, right now?
Yes, I'm happy to.
Okay, so let's just start today with... good afternoon, random caller. Where are you and who are you? And if you could turn off your speakers, please, or your radio.
Good afternoon, random caller. Where are you and who are you?
Hello.
And if you could hello. You have your player. I'm going to have to disconnect you if you can't
hello?
Quiet that. Hello. Who's that? Oh, you'll have to call back. That's just completely messed up. Anyway, I'm sure they'll call back. Simon, do you want to make any of your? Do you have any announcements to make before we get going?
Yes, I suppose we can just kick off. Anyone who's visited my website and has had a Skype with me knows that I've been trying to build up a group. I'm calling it Connecting Consciousness. That's the group that we're starting. I've been asking people what their special gifts are or what they're capable of offering, whatever it might be. And it's amazing. We've had something like 600 people email in saying that they want to play a part in the group.
Wow.
And what that's a small team and I have decided that we'll do is we'll put people into time zone groups. So that means that they can chat to each other in real time, but also we'll theme group them. So if you've got a guy in Great Britain who's a very good healer, and then there's a woman in the States who's a very good healer, they should be able to communicate as well. But within the time zone grouping, what I'm going to do is get each group to elect a spokesperson, and that spokesperson then will come across to me, as it were, on Skype or once a month, and put the views of that group. So the individual won't be speaking for themselves, they'll be speaking for the group in that particular time zone. And that means that the groups across the globe actually have control, in a way, over how my project is going to go. So they'll have a real... hand on the tiller, if you like. They can really steer it and have a go with it. I came upon this view because I looked very carefully at what Dr. Stephen Greer did and David Icke did. Now, Dr. Stephen Greer raised a heck of a lot of money and did a film, and unfortunately it didn't really change anything much. David Icke did better. He raised a heck of a lot of money and he produced a radio and a TV show, but unfortunately that just fell apart. And one of the reasons I believe this has occurred is because the system is corrupt. And if you're trying to use the system to change the system, it can't work at the moment because human consciousness generally isn't evolved high enough. So rather than use a structure that needs a bank manager or a professional here or a professional here, there and everywhere, I want to use just ordinary people throughout the globe who will work together voluntarily And be able to send healing, be able to send love, be able to actively combat anything that's coming on. And because there's no infrastructure, because there's no banks involved or professional people, it can't be taken down. So I do believe that one of the issues that when anyone's trying to change anything on this planet at the moment is you cannot use the structure as it stands, because the structure is designed to work against change. So that's why I'm gone for this particular model. So I would ask anybody who is listening to the show today to go onto the site, and if you're a spiritual person, if you actually care about the planet, you care about people, please fill in the form, send it through, because we need as many good people as we can. So, okay, there's my 5 minutes there.
Excellent. All right, she's going to try calling again. Let's see. So, area code 206, are you there? Can you give us your name? And you've turned off your radio, haven't you? No, you haven't turned off the radio. area code 206, are you calling by accident? No. All right. Ah. Hello?
My name is...
Are you calling by accident?
No.
Oh, she's not hearing me. She's hearing the sound on the radio.
I'm Donna in Yelm, Washington.
It sounds like we're talking to Mars. like we've got a, like 3 or 4 second delay. You're listening to an echo.
I have a question for Simon about our...
It sounds like we're talking to Mars.
I have a question for Simon regarding...
you're listening to an echo.
Just pulling down our DNA down into us. I have a question for Simon regarding...
Okay, well, we'll take your echoes, but thanks for your question, and that's a very good question. Yes, okay, well, if you listen to the radio, you'll hear it in a few seconds. Okay, all right, so, yeah, this is a really relevant question, because on one hand, there are many people talking about ascension and going up. There are other groups who are saying, no, you've got to ground and ground and ground and get down into the ground. And... Whereas you're talking about pulling the DNA down from your higher self. Could you talk about that and how people do this kind of thing?
Yeah, unfortunately I didn't fully hear the question because of all the echoes.
Yeah, well, but it's basically that, what I just said. It's like, talk about pulling the DNA down, that's what she was saying.
Right, okay. One of the issues that we've got is that the concept actually... put across by many of the New Ages is that this is about an ascension, and I'm as guilty, if guilty is the right word, because I talk about the ascension simply because that is what many unawake people understand, and you know, this isn't just about talking to people who know, this is about trying to reach people who are just on the verge of knowing. So it isn't an ascension, it is a reconnection. Something like 250,000 years ago, the 12 strands of DNA that all humans had on this planet was taken away. Well, 10 strands were taken away, which left us with 2 physical strands. So we were intelligent enough to work, but we weren't intelligent enough to understand and throw off these people who were oppressing us. And ever since then, the DNA that hangs over our bodies in an energy form has been seeking to try to get back into the body. A number of people across the planet are accelerating this, either consciously or just it's just happening to them, and they are reconnecting with their strands of DNA. Now, these are the people who are experiencing shifts in consciousness in terms of perceiving other dimensions. And they're also, when they connect with their strands of DNA, able to connect to that particular star family. So an individual going through that particular change is going through quite some spectacular experiences. These are the people who often contact me, and they don't really understand what's going on. So it's a fantastic thing. It's really wonderful. We're all connecting, but some are connecting faster than others, and it's a process that has to be managed. Ultimately, when enough people have connected the 12 strands of DNA, consciousness will shift on this planet. So it's about time it happened, and it can't come soon enough.
Excellent. This is just a fresh question. How many strands of DNA do we ideally need to have reconnected by 2016? That sounds like there's a time limit here.
I'd like people to be on the 10th and 11th strand.
Yeah, seriously?
Mm.
So that is like just about full consciousness. I mean, what does a 10-strand human look like or feel like or sound, you know, how would you know if one come up to or if you were becoming one?
Right. It's a very good question, actually. People would think you're being flippant, but you're not. That's one of the main points that comes up when I do a Skype with somebody. And I try to give people a very solid 3D bit of facts here. And if somebody, and I use this one, you're going to a shop, you're going to buy something from a person, and you don't know that person at all, they will not be able to hold eye-to-eye contact with you. If you are evolving to the level we've just discussed, the individual, unless they are equally evolving, will feel a lot of disquiet and will be fearful, not because there's anything wrong with that person, but because generally most humans on the planet are fearful of what they don't understand. So what they can't perceive or understand, it scares them. So when somebody looks into somebody's eyes who are connecting quite dramatically their DNA strands, they will get a glimpse of what is inside that person. Now, that does sound a bit startling, but in Great Britain, about 200 years ago, a phrase was coined, which is, your eyes are a window to your soul. Now, the elite don't like that phrase anymore, because anything that empowers us, they're trying to just expunge from the educational system. But nevertheless, that was said, and all human eyes connect to the brain via the optic nerve. Now, the soul, which sits in the upper third of your chest, of your body, is around the spinal cord, and the spinal cord's absolutely full of neurons. Therefore, when somebody looks into your eyes, they get a glimpse of your soul. Now, if you're a fifth, sixth, seventh dimensional person, or if you're a third dimensional person, but you are connecting your DNA, and the other person who's looking at you is not at that level, they get one heck of a shock. And so many people I've spoken to who I know are connecting have been able to say, oh my Lord, so that explains it. And the vast majority of these people have known it for quite a while, and they now don't look at people. So they go into a shop to buy something, or they're at work or something, and they just avert their eyes. They just look very quickly at the individual and then look away, because they understand that if they look at somebody, then it can make that person feel uneasy. So that is one tangible way that you can begin to realize that you are changing in relation to a lot of the people around you.
All right, so I better go around staring people in the eyes and...
it's not staring. I know what you mean. No, if you stare at anybody, then you're going to cause a problem. I mean, it's just literally, if you just link eyes just for a second, this is happening to, they will know what I'm saying. They will understand that. And it's one of the ways that somebody who's new to this, but feels they're going through some sort of change, is one way that they can get some sort of understanding of what's happening to them.
Wow, awesome. Humorism, but there is a lot going on. I have to say, there's loads of listeners kind of piling in and piling up with questions, and I'm going to filter them very, very slowly to you, so you won't feel too inundated with them. But we got enough material. Let me just tell you, we got enough material.
Good.
Well, I'm going to start with some of the questions that people asked in the last show that never got answered. And I'm just trying to. All right. So the first question, in your interview with Alexander Meadows, you said Off-World Forces was working with Putin because they didn't like who was running the White House.
did you mean Obama or the beings who really run American government? Which is what Obama revealed to Jimmy Kimmel, wasn't it? We were talking about that.
Yes.
So do you have any... I think you may have answered that question before, but Putin is still, you know, he's a mysterious character. He seems to be like a good guy working... I don't know. What's going on currently with Putin and the Russians?
Okay, I'm going to try and keep all my answers short because otherwise we're just going to get totally blocked up with questions and, you know, it's only fair to try and get through as many as possible. I meant the people behind Obama. Obama actually is a decent person. He's a decent person that they got. In other words, before Obama was 5 years old, he was already destined to be president. He was already groomed and organized and it was all sorted. So he was just an ordinary kid who had been through a very special process. When he came to office, and I don't know if anybody remember this, the very first election, there was a big talk in our field how he's going to announce about aliens, he's going to come clean on it. Now what had happened is that the community got the wrong end of the stick. The truth was that he knew about aliens. He wasn't actually going to make any declarations, but he knew the truth. And towards the end of this presidency, I think he's going to make more statements. So actually, I think Obama's a decent person who thought he'd come in to make big changes and found that he couldn't. So it's the people behind him who I have a slight problem with.
Right, well, that clears it up, definitely. Okay, so let's motor through them. I would like to know what we as an individual could do for a positive outcome of all humanity creating the so-called heaven on earth. This is from Silalina. Okay, that's some great names.
Okay, I'm not sure about heaven on earth. I think what they mean is, you know, utopia. What they mean is a much better place than we have now. But the planet is wonderful. The actual planet is wonderful. It's a very, very small group of humans and non-humans who seek, by rules and regulations, to act in an unfair way and to penalise the vast majority of people so that these guys can lord it over us. So it's just literally people, I want people to raise their consciousness, to become aware, and we are getting towards this critical mass, this very large form of consciousness which ultimately will tip the balance. So I need everyone to be strong. I need everyone to network and communicate with each other, not to be thrown off by lies coming from the television, not to be scared by anything. If the internet was to go down or something happened, don't panic. If your cell phone stops working, don't panic. You see lots of soldiers in the street, don't panic. And just remember that you are watching something playing out that has to happen. We've got to go through this change. So this has got to happen. And I've always said, I know we will come through the other end, but what I don't know is in what condition. So will we literally crawl through on our knees and say, hallelujah, we've made it? Or will we stride through confidently with plenty of energy, right, what's the next task? So basically, everyone who's true, decent, kind and spiritual and wants the best for the planet and the good people on the planet stick together, and we've got to see this through.
Wonderful. From Nicola Novella.
Okay.
Simon, do you have a comment on Black Ring stroke Hypercraft over Russia, April the 9th, 2015? That must have been some sighting. You probably don't. I don't know about it.
We shouldn't be surprised that there are going to be a number of strange aerial devices which we've not seen before, because the off-world race, well, races, but mainly main race that are involved with Russia, we haven't seen very greatly off. So in other words, people in North America and Western Hemisphere will be used to certain sightings, whether they're earthbound, back-engineered technology craft, or whether they are, you know, craft belonging to one or another faction. We're going to see some interesting craft as the months develop, because some of these craft we've not seen before. because the alien race that's involved now, there are a couple of alien races which are playing a much bigger hand, and we just haven't seen those craft. So the ring, it's a ring effect, I think, that the person is referring to. It creates a halo. I think that's what they're referring to.
Okay, so that now brings us to, I'll try and just ask you one question, because everybody's asking questions about this at the moment, and I think there's several questions in this list. So let's just go there. The Sphere Being Alliance, the Blue Avians, the Triangle Golden-Headed People, is this BS? Is this upliftment? Is this crazy stuff? Is this man and what's this is all coming out through David Wilcock, and everybody's very excited. Is there a truth? Do you have your people talking about these guys?
Well, I've got a lot of time for Dave Wilcock, actually. He was one of the first guys that actually really talked about what planetary warming was, and did a very excellent presentation on the subject. It's difficult because I also saw him break down and burst into tears during a live TV show where he'd been threatened with his life. I think somebody had threatened to kill him from one of the agencies, and he burst into tears. It is a very, very difficult situation when you put yourself forward, and you have to be absolutely determined and absolutely strong, and you can't show weakness, because if you show weakness, they'll come at you, and they know they can manipulate you. The Blue Avians, that's a race that I'm familiar with. As an aside, it's very interesting that the Vatican maintained two telescopes to look for alien spacecraft, and I know it sounds crazy, but people can Google this, but one of the telescopes is actually called the Lucifer telescope. So this is an official name for a Vatican telescope, Lucifer. And I say to Catholics throughout the world, why would your Vatican name a telescope after the devil? And don't take my word for it, go Google it. But they have an infrared telescope and an ordinary standard telescope, and they detected earlier this year, or back end of last year, but it was early this year that became much more obvious, an unusual craft. And the powers that be in the Vatican believed that some of their bosses were coming back. And I don't know if the red carpet was got ready, and there was some trepidation, but I can begin to imagine their shock when it wasn't their friends coming back, but it was a race that we could refer to as the Blue Avian group, who are a little bit more positive towards humanity. And this has thrown the Vatican into a bit of a, as we say in England, tizzy. They are a little bit upset because there's yet another race now who is more positive to humanity, who is now involving itself on the Earth. And as your listeners, I know, will understand, the Vatican plays an absolute key role in the decision-making of governments, many governments, and the way they respond to alien or extraterrestrial races. So the Vatican was convinced of the Blue Avians. I'm convinced of the Blue Avians. The other races you've mentioned, I have no knowledge of.
Okay, these are the, apparently there are four races that are in the process of making contact. The Blue Avians being the first one.
Yeah.
And then there's the Orb Beings, which snap in and out, have no ships. They just, you know, they just appear. Some golden triangle-headed people and someone else. I was just going to say we have a caller, but they've rung off now. They'll probably call back in a second. We got loads. So let's go back to the original list, because it's still huge. Okay, so I'll try and group some of these questions together conceptually, so that because they're this is another question from Sila Lina. How can I integrate all parts of my soul and become fully aware? And then there's also from where are we? Oh, it's the same sigla. How do we find our purpose in life when there is nothing coming up, neither in meditation or by feeling my way into it? Well, you want to call Simon or myself with it. But anyway, some questions about the soul there, Simon.
Right. Don't understand what she means by integrating the soul. I think it's the choice of words she's using. To me, you see, that means that there may be more than one part to the soul, or the soul is not connecting with the organic body. Maybe she means that. I have a term for people who are fully active, and that's my word, active, and that's when the organic brain of the organism, that's, you know, people, when your brain accepts who you really truly are and is in connection with you. So when that happens, you begin to draw down the DNA, you become psychic. So you can be spiritual without being psychic. But if you are connecting and or reconnecting your DNA, that is separate from the soul. So the soul is who you are, and the DNA is somewhat different. So I fail to understand the question because of the terminology. So that's the best I can do on that.
Okay. Well, the second part of that was like, she wants to find her purpose.
Yes.
And she can't. She's meditating hard and not getting anything. I think that's what she's at. Yeah.
I think a lot of people are not. I mean, she can either give you a ring or give me a ring, because everybody is individual and you cannot put a blanket statement out. I mean, I often say to people who are very connected to the earth, go on to YouTube, because it's not going to cost you anything, and find meditation music that is around the same hertz frequency that the earth emits. So if you are very connected to the earth, then try and meditate with music that's around that. There are lots of things that we can do, but everyone is individual. So yeah, why doesn't she give you a ring?
Good idea. Everbeyondradio.com or simonparks.org. Simon is very busy. I can imagine that you are very busy. Dealing with a lot of calls, a mounting number of calls, for readings.
It's a combination, you know, that there aren't many people on the planet who can do it, and there are even fewer who are prepared to do it, because you put your head above the parapet and there's always some agency or some nut who's going to try and shoot your head off. And so I can fully understand that lots of people won't do it. But I know for those of us that do, then there is a lot of work out there, because people are genuinely concerned. If you live on this planet and you know you're different, most people have been waking up over the last 10 or 15 years, but some people have been waking up earlier, and some people have been awake since childhood, and they've always known they were different, but they're struggling to understand and come to terms with it. Once it's been made clear to them and they can go and do their own research and they can ask their higher selves whether the, you know, information they're getting is connecting with them, once they accept that, then they can go on, connect themselves up, and go and stand in their power and be really who they should be. So sometimes I'm just a catalyst. I am meant to meet a person at a set place at a set time, and that then leads that person on to carry on their journey. And so, you know, that's what I do. And the whole point about this is to get people up there, a strong understanding who they are, ready for what's ahead of us. And I know you do that in your own way, and others do as well.
Excellent, thank you. So she says in the chat room, she's lucky me, I have booked my next reading already. So there you go. So as I said, I'm trying to sort of add all these questions, and like they're pouring in from the chat room. Let's go off planet for a moment. Here's Simon. Hey Simon, just curious, haven't heard anything from Captain Randy Kramer for some time. Hope he is okay. Any news about Randy? Now, they're just people that everybody interviews. It's not that everybody who's on an interview panel will know each other and see each other again. But having said that, maybe you do have news about Randy.
Well, yes. He did send me quite a long message on Skype not too long ago, it's interesting when I share the stage with people, or whether I'm on a radio show with people, I generally, you know, keep in touch with them. They generally want to chat to me. Some people can't. I understand that. I mean, I did a really lovely round table with Buzz Aldrin. Got a great respect for that man.
Excellent.
Really respect. But, you know, he can't be messaging me every 5 minutes, because the CIA watch him, you know, within about 3 inches of his life, poor man. But certainly with Randy, I did receive a long mail. And what's been happening, it's not, it's the tail ender now, but a lot of people have been attacked recently. I mean, energetically attacked. I know that Dave Wilcox had to take to his bed. I know that David Icke had been very ill recently. So we were all being hit. But I think Randy's okay now, and hopefully he'll be back on the scene soon.
Right, well, that leads us segueing beautifully into the next question from Nikki, and I think that's Nikki Griffith, so hi Nikki. Do you have any suggestions for protecting against psychic attacks, and how to distinguish between what is one and what is not? What is just like, oh, I haven't, I ate too much croissant yesterday and I'm having a wheat headache, or whether I'm being psychically attacked with microwave beams and voice-to-skull technology and all that crap that they throw us. How can you tell the difference? Is there a way, are there signatures of this, of various psychic attacks, Simon? How do we protect against them? That's a really good one.
It was a well-written question. I know it's serious. It's a serious question in there. First of all, an individual will, you will know if something's wrong, because it will usually be at a certain time of the day, or you may be thinking of something, and you will just know that this is an external attack. I did an interview with a guy called Henning White, who is quite expert in psychic attack and a scalar wave attack. And he actually flew over from, I think it was Holland, and he brought a German chap with him as well to interview me here in my home, or near my home, to talk about scalar wave attack. If for the last 4 years been advising people who are the subject of both psychic attack and electromagnetic or scalar wave attack. In fact, interestingly enough, the chap who wanted to have a chat with me, and did have a chat with me, my last conference, who was representing a very elite group of people, he certainly had a number of these infinity bracelets and necklaces that he wore around himself, because he was forever being attacked with handheld scalar weapons or electronic weapons. So it's very real. Generally, it comes from North America. In terms of the psychic attack, you tend to have military people, and they're given a photograph of a person they need to attack, sometimes an item of clothing. Sometimes they get a DNA signature. That's really quite clever. And then they will focus on that person. They will attack that person. The attacks can either become or take the shape of depression, anxiety, listlessness, no energy at all. You may feel that you want to self-harm or commit suicide. You may feel that certain people are lying to you. You may see images, like running video in your head, voices. It's far more relevant, prevalent than people actually understand. And that's actually the psychic, but it can be boosted psychotronically. It can be boosted with machines. And it's becoming quite difficult, because a lot of the civilian equipment provides a carrier wave, and now these people are able to, like a surfer on a surfboard on the top of the wave, can ride on the top of these. I'm not going to mention anything because I'll be sued, but basically most houses now have some form of system that allows them to use the internet without plugging anything in. Well, they're capable of riding on top of that and attacking people. That's why in some cities, and certainly in North America, you are seeing these, they're not poles going up, but they're antenna or aerials that are being attached very regular intervals. And anybody in the state who's seen this going up in the last 2-3 years know what I'm talking about. But if people are being attacked, then please contact me on the website, and I'll talk to them privately and confidentially about what can be done.
Okay, because that is a pretty prevalent, and as you say, lots of people in the radio environment have been attacked. Jeff Rentz was hit by some psychotronic weapon, they say, and came off the road. There's lots of people.
I totally believe that did happen. Yes.
Right. Okay. So let's see. There's so many more. All right. So here we go. Okay, there's another one. All right, yeah. The garlic thing. Question for someone. How serious a problem is garlic? Is any other food a problem? What is the problem of garlic? And, what's the garlic thing, Simon?
I'm going to have to be really careful because one of the ways the system would love for me to make a mistake would be for me to say something which is actionable in court. You see, they can't get me psychically, they can't get me physically like that, but I guess they would love me to really put my foot in it. I made statements about garlic and I'll stand by them. There are plenty of other foods as well which don't do us any good. I had my fairly recent dentist checkup, and every time you go in this country anyway now, you get a big form you have to fill in, and it said, we've just developed this wonderful new fluoride-filled filling for your teeth. Would you like it? So in big letters right across my form, I wrote, fluoride is poison, in really big letters. I mean, like 4 inches tall, right across the form. That form was handed in. Okay, now in Britain we call these people dentists. In America they refer to them as doctors. And I went in, saw the doctor, the dentist, and she proceeded to go through my form with me. Oh, I see that you're allergic to shellfish. Yes, I'm allergic to shellfish. That's the iodine. Boom, 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 boom. Do you know what? The one thing she didn't ask me was fluoride. Although I'd written this in 4-inch big letters right across across the form, she didn't ask me. And that's because she knew. Because you cannot study in a university for 3 or 4 years and practice medicine and not know about fluoride. You can't. It's just not possible. So she didn't, you know, if she'd been totally unaware, she'd have said to me, oh, what's all this about fluoride? So there are many, many things that are in our food or in our drink that are doing us harm. And I picked up on that particular one because an off-world entity had said to me, we'd rather you didn't eat that because it will have a detrimental effect. Okay.
All right. Okay. So, yeah, it's very interesting. It's very interesting. I mean, because like, I love garlic, and we all love garlic, and it's you know, and it was. I think it started off when I invited you up here and said you can come for a curry, and you said,
"Oh, yes, you devil." Yeah, I soon put you right there, didn't I?
That was great. So, we've got now we go into the ancient past. What does the Ark of the Covenant look like? Is it still on Earth? There's a whole list of questions, you know, because everybody's like, oh, you know, that's good. Is the Ark of the Covenant still on Earth? I was told when it shows again, Jehovah will not have the power to wield it. What's the Ark of the Covenant? What is the Ark of the Covenant? And then supplementary question later on, who is Jehovah? And you know, what's the whole deal with Jehovah? Let's really upset some people.
Right, I tell you what, let's not really upset some people. Just try and bring them along and bring them into the fold. I tell you what, the Ark of the Covenant is real. Yes, it's still on the planet. That's what the Knights Templars do. It's a name that people actually gloss over because they think about the Masons, and they think about the Illuminati, and then as a side shoot they think of the Knights Templars, but they don't really know very much about the Knights Templars, and so they don't really focus in on them. The Knights Templars are the preparation boys. In jargon they're called the preppers. They prepare for the worst. And it was an agent of the Knights Templars that came up to me last year after my conference and said, my backers think that you're worth protecting. We would like to protect you. And that's what Knights Templars do. They protect sacred objects. So there's the Tables of Testimony, there's the Ark of the Covenant, there are a number of other devices, most of which the Templars have hidden out of reach from just about everybody, because they don't want anyone to have them, quite understandably, because most people, if they got them, they would try to weaponize them. So yes, it is real. It's oblong in shape, and well, we'll leave that there, because that's probably quite a hot topic. Let's go on to Jehovah's Witnesses and Jehovah. I'm regularly contacted by Jehovah's Witnesses, who call round at least twice a month, and have
really?
Done, yes, and have done for the last 2 years. I'm very, very keen to sign me up and get me to join. Previous to that, the Church of Scientology had approached me a number of times wanting me to join. These organizations at the highest realm, the very highest, I don't mean the people who go around, knock on the doors and try and get the membership up. The highest realm know that their gods are not from this planet. And that therefore they are very different as a religious group. From Jehovah's Witnesses, I was always confounded, because anybody who knows about them knows that they want to get 144,000 people saved. And the problem is, I think there are many millions who are signed up to this religion. So who's going to choose 144,000? And as I said to one person once, you know, you're going around recruiting people. How do you know which will be the 144,000 that you're going to recruit? At least with the Christian religion, everybody can be saved. And that's a much better way, because if I want to fill my church with people and pass a plate around so that you can all put money on there for me, I'd want as many people as possible, because I'd want as much money as possible. So the Christian church has got it right. Everyone will be saved. So, you know, please give generously. Whereas some of the other religions are a little bit more discerning. So in terms of Jehovah, Jehovah was an off-world entity. As far as I'm concerned, it had a reptilian connection to it. And a number of people in that religious order are certainly familiar with what I'm talking about.
Excellent, excellent. Well, we did have a call, and they stopped calling, so we'll just keep
maybe
going.
Maybe the question's been answered, eh?
Yeah, maybe. So, again, and this is something that will connect with the Jehovah, which is Saturn, you know, being Saturn, the aliens, Saturn aliens. So, number one, there's... would Simon know what the hexagon on Saturn is all about? And... Selena, I would like to know what the original meaning of a six-pointed star is. Not the man-made reason, but where it's originating from, because I have it on my forehead. See, it's only when there is direct light shining at my face, and discovered it by accident. Anyway, yeah, that's the six-pointed star questions.
Right, okay. Well, why don't we sort of turn it very interestingly and talk about the Kabbalah, the Star
indeed.
Of David.
Indeed, we were talking about the Kabbalah yesterday, me and my girlfriend.
Uh-huh. There you go. Well, the Star of David is the emblem used, but of course that actually is a very interesting emblem, and it is a star. It's derived from a magical star. A number of planets that are composed largely of gas, or at least have gas clouds around them, and are either a fluid or a gaseous type of a construction, through a number of energies, are beginning to show signs. Some have round circles, some have stars or hexagons appearing. It's usually a certain degree or latitude of the planet where the energies are naturally in a sphere in this dimension will form. Depends what the nature of the planet is, whether it is just a genuine planet or whether it's been altered or changed for a purpose. Right through mankind, womankind's history on this planet, we have been involved in symbology. Some of the symbols humans have created themselves, others have been given to them. Now, where that symbology has been given to them, that is because those symbols carry innate power. And it's the symbols on their own aren't any good. You have to combine them with other symbols and into a ritual, and then imbued it with energy, and you can then bring forth things. Let's just leave it at that. So basically, someone's saying they have a star appearing on their forehead. I don't fully understand what the person means by that. So maybe the person wants to get in touch with you and explain that.
Sure, thank you very much. Okay, so there's the six-pointed star questions. Right. Back on heads. What does Simon know about the supposed scar on Obama's head that showed up soon after he was elected?
I got a lot of questions on President Putin, and people were genuinely getting excited that President Putin was a clone. They had shown, one website had got hold of lots of photographs of Putin from different angles, and lo and behold, his ears were different in each of these pictures you see, and so the great debate was whether he was a clone. The difficulty with websites is, well, it's not websites, it's the people that write them, is that they don't understand and they do more harm than good. First of all, if you're a clone, you look exactly the same. You wouldn't have different ears. So this particular website had a series of these photographs of different ears. Well, if you were a clone, every aspect physically would look the same. So what we're looking at is body doubles. These are simple body doubles, because Putin knows there are real, tangible efforts out there to assassinate him. So he has at least six very good look-alike doubles. And so, yes, somebody's been very clever and picked up the ears on these doubles are different. Now, in terms of Obama did have some surgery. Now, I'm not aware where that surgery was done, but he did have some surgery that was done. How can I put this? When JFK was murdered, it did two things. One, it showed everybody who wanted to rise up high in politics on this planet that ultimately you will be murdered if you don't do what you're told. And the system learned that they couldn't afford another murder of a president, because it would just tear the heart out of the country. So they thought it better to control presidents so that they didn't have the freedom of operation. They didn't think for themselves, or they didn't decide on a course that was good for humanity but was bad for the elite. So sometimes people have implants put in them. Sometimes they have other things done to them. So I'll just leave it like that.
That was a huge scar, though.
Yes.
So, okay, here's a happy question. Are we going to witness the use of free energy for the well-being of the whole population in the near future? Brackets 5 to 10 years from now. I hope 5 to 10 months, but you know, that's being optimistic.
Yes, absolutely. It's absolute necessity as part of the freedom of the human race. I passionately believe that nobody on this planet should pay for heating, for food, for drinking water, or a roof over your head. I really don't think that we should have to pay for the planet we're born on. Free energy, as it's called in America, and that's the word that's coined, or zero point energy, whatever you know you want to call it. We know what we're talking about. Is already created, it's already available, but as we all know, if I'm a stock and bond holder in, we'll call it Gas Guzzlers Corporation, I don't want everybody having free energy, because I want you to keep buying my gas guzzling product so that I can have a foreign holiday every year. And what we need is a change. We need these people to back off. If they can't back off, then it'll have to be forced. But certainly to save the planet environmentally, to raise all of those poor people in those third world countries out of poverty, we need free energy. And certainly every ordinary decent person, whether they're in America, Britain, Germany, France, doesn't matter where, should have the right to have the access to free electricity, free gas. Why shouldn't we? Why shouldn't we have the ability to say, I'm going to put this on and not pay for it? You know, it's, do you remember the story of Tesla?
Yeah, I was just thinking about that.
Yeah, where Tesla showed, demonstrated a machine that transmitted power from one area to another without a cable. And it was a demonstration that was fully accepted, and he did it, and I can't remember, you might know the electric company in America.
Was it Westinghouse?
Well, this is a good research for your listeners. But anyway, and they looked at it, and they were very impressed indeed. And what was the first thing they thought of was, how can we make money out of this? So what they asked him is, okay, where's the meter? You know, where's the slot meter to put the money in? And he said, no, there's no meter. This is free for people. Well, you can imagine. It didn't get anywhere, did it? So it's part of getting people out of this power slavery, because that's what we're in. Everything requires power to make it go, and so we have a small elite who control the access to that. And if we want to have a half decent life, we've got to pay for it. Not because we have to, but because they say we have to. If any of your listeners go outside and you stand there on a warm sunny day, you are warmed by the sun. How much did you pay for that? That's free energy. You don't pay for that. And, you know, I want people to understand that you have a, say, God-given right, but you have a right. You're born on this planet, and you've just been completely and utterly controlled by this 1% who are using resources which are natural and should be free just so that they can be wealthier and more wealthier. And I've gone public, and I've said, look, I don't have a problem with people making money. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with greed. That's where I draw the line. Somebody who wants everything. They don't want to leave anything for anybody else. And what we've seen in these big corporations is this desperation, and it's been paramount since the last, I would say, the last 18 months, where they want as much money off you as quickly as possible, for as long as possible, for as cheaply as possible, and from as many people as possible. And what they do is, they say, well, we want you to pay more for less. So you get a worse service, but you have to pay more. And this is where people are being squeezed. And in a way, I think it's the big wake-up call. People are actually realizing that they're not in a wonderful environment where, you know, they can enjoy life. They're actually really, really struggling. And pain often makes people sit down quietly and think deeply into their soul or their heart. And I hope that those people will say, there's got to be another way. There has to be another way to live life. So, yes, absolutely, it's a very important point, and I'm going to be doing everything I can over the next few years to ensure that free energy is available to everybody who wants it.
Well, that's an awesome thing, and again, that's one of my particular pet interests is in energy. You know, I had this dream of like running an energy farm community where people bring their old batteries. I've got a technique that I invented when I was 14. I discovered you could refresh batteries. You know, batteries that are broken, they got a particular thing with it, and this circuit can bust through that and recondition batteries. I always thought about doing that. It's just something I haven't gotten around to doing, but fixing old batteries is a great way of recycling the lead of them rather than poisoning the environment. Are there any other, I mean, we've come across, you know, the magnetic forms, you know, magnetic motors, using the repulsion of permanent magnets and things like that to run. We've got the Bedini spark gap kind of motors. Are there any other technologies and other kind of angles that people can be starting to research on? Let's give people some clues as to what other ways of generating energy there might be that you might have heard of, Simon.
Well, what I'm hoping in the next five years is that blueprints or plans will be readily available where people can either buy a kit to access free energy, or if they're very handy, they can build their own. Looking at a price maybe of £100 to build a kit, maybe a bit more depending on it. So that is something that's quite possible in the future. It's not the form of energy device that's important. It's the fact that the energy providing the propulsion or providing the motive force is free. So as long as it's not an explosion type device, because all engines on this planet seem to be an explosion type. The combustion engine is nothing more than a big solid heavy metal box that has explosions in it every so often. So it's literally about providing or obtaining energy from natural resources, and I don't mean burning coal, that would then turn a traditional motor without the need of pollution fumes. Now, we're all familiar with solar panels, and we're familiar with the great big wind turbines, and I have a problem with those wind turbines, because when any of your listeners look either for real at these things or on a photograph, you'll see just one after another dotted across the landscape. Well, what the heck is the difference between that and oil drillings? All that's happened is that the big powerful people who did control all the oil wells are now just shifting across, and they dominate all these wind farms. I don't want to see that. I want to see individual people with their own little form of windmill, you know, because then you're taking power away from that elite corporate group, and you're giving power to the individual man and woman on this planet, because everybody should have the right to generate power themselves in their own home and not then have to pay for it. So at the moment you have a big corporation that says, you want power, you've got to come to us. So yeah, you can stand out in the garden and get warm by the sun, that's free, but you know, you want to boil some water to make yourself a hot drink, well, you've got to pay us for that. That's in effect what's going on here. So I don't want that. I actually want the person to have the little windmill or the solar panels on their roof, and they can do that. Now, people will say, yeah, but you can get solar panels. Yes, I know you can, but have you looked into the way that it's structured? You want to read the small print. You have these solar panels, and unless you can afford to buy them outright, you have a very strong deal with these energy companies who, for maybe like 12 years, maintain the right to these devices. So, again, anything that's could weaken the control of the corporations is stopped. Now, you talked about you invented the ability to do something with batteries. It actually is possible to recharge ordinary batteries. But you don't hear anything about that, because for everybody who recharges their ordinary battery, they're not going to the local store to buy more batteries so that the shareholder is making more profit. So people are lied to time and time again. And when anybody, and let's look at Tesla, tries to break the system and say, look, we can have this for free, stamped on immediately, because he threatens their livelihood. And that's what I meant about greed. Because you see, there's enough out here for everybody. We could share. You know, these huge corporations, they could share with people, but they don't. And that's greed. It's got to stop.
Excellent. And talking of stopping, it's right at the top of the hour, perfectly timed. How do you fancy a bit of Enya, Simon?
Oh, well, yes, very good indeed.
And welcome back to Connecting Consciousness with your host, Simon Parks. Well, here we go. So in the meantime, well, another pile of questions. So yeah, we've done the article. Oh, there you are. I see your face.
I thought I would just say hello.
Okay. Oh, disclosure. Right. So here we go. After full disclosure, this is from Chase-O-Matic. After full disclosure and the full lifting of the quarantine has occurred, which we'll call this post-event, what percentage of the human population does Simon think will choose to leave the planet, and will there be other non-Earth beings that will take their place amongst us? Yes.
Right. Nobody's going to leave the planet. One of the problems that we have with a number of belief systems very current at the moment is that that's what's going to happen. And in fact, interestingly enough, on Friday, just gone, the Jehovah's Witnesses put another leaflet through my door. When I'm not in, they put leaflets through my door. And this one was fascinating because it said, is the end of the world coming? And I thought, I better have a look at this. This looks interesting. And then there was a picture of a devastated city, and this is very important, a devastated city and a line of people making their way out. And the person at the head of the line was a guy holding his child, and the child is pointing up towards the sky. And you don't see what they're pointing at. Anyway, I was very, very taken with that, so I drew a big flying saucer on the opposite page, and I do my conferences, I'm going to hand that round. There are a number of cults that literally say that the flying saucers are going to land, and then you must get on the flying saucer, because you're going to be taken to heaven, or you're going to be taken to a wonderful place. Now, my answer is, Earth is a wonderful place. Why would you want to leave it? What we have to do is to clean it up, improve it, and remove those people that aren't any good for it. So we're not going to leave the planet. Now, I rather think your questioner was talking about energetically leaving the planet. But I wanted to warn people about this nonsense. Don't get onto the spaceships, frankly. But energy, no. That's not my understanding. What will happen is there will be a sizable part of the humanity that will not choose to evolve at this time. They're just happy where they are, or they're fearful of stepping outside. It's rather like a person that has half a loaf of bread, and they can look over the fence and they can see the land of milk and honey, but they are too fearful to cross the threshold because they've still got half a bread. The deal is, you see, they have to leave the half of bread on one side of the fence and then climb over and, you know, join the new world. But people, unfortunately, many of them are not prepared to let go of the little they have. They're hanging on to it. So for those people who are not ready to evolve, they won't. And it will become strikingly obvious, those who have made the change and those who have not. But I don't want people to think of a new sort of earth creating. It's very difficult to explain to people, but and this is harsh, what I'm going to say, and perhaps many people will struggle to cope with it. Nobody's going to die. That's the one thing. If you choose not to evolve, if you choose that this is where you want to be and you're quite happy with that, you're not going to die. But through natural selection, you probably won't procreate, because the frequency of the planet is rising all the time. And those of us who are in connection with the planet, your physical body is changing. You know this is true, listeners out there, because you have days where you feel dizzy sometimes, or your perception is a bit off. That's not a bad thing. That's your body struggling to catch up. And you have your own soul, your higher self, which is energy-based, and that's making the change quicker. So those people are moving and changing, and they are in tune with the planet. But those who choose not to advance, their frequency is going to stay relatively low, then the planet will basically say, I don't recognize you anymore. You haven't made the journey. You have not come through with me. Therefore, you don't have a future. So those people, I think, will just find that they have very few children. And over a period of time, that element of the population will just disappear. So nobody dies, there's nothing evil, they just naturally just wither on the vine. And that's a way through natural selection. I mean, even Charles Darwin would understand that the planet then can bring with it those elements that support and have shown themselves worthy. And I'm being very careful here, because when we start using the word worthy, we tend to say, I'm better than you. But what I'm talking about here is worthiness, in that we have fought hard to make the change. We've seen the truth, we've seen through the lies, and we actually have turned our back on the system that we have at the moment, because it's just wrong. So That's my, I'm afraid it's a very long-winded answer, but it was a very deep question.
It is indeed. And following on from that, this is from Li Wei, L-E-I-G-H-Wei. Will all mankind experience the shift at once, or will this be a slower process moving like a wave around the globe? Can you give us something of a description of what we will be dealing with as the shift occurs?
Right, well, I'm expecting something in July of this year. The problem, and I see it as a problem because I'm one of many people who just want this thing to happen quickly. If your listeners cast their mind back to the 21st of December 2012, even people who considered themselves spiritual or wanting something to happen were so deeply rooted in the traditional 3D matrix that they were not capable of perceiving the change that occurred, because the change that occurred was both a spiritual and an energetic change. And let's face it, all of us, including myself, have been through some form of educational system where we have been trained not to be intelligent, but we've been trained to do what we're told and to accept what authority tells us. And of course, many people, vast majority of people, can only believe what they can see and touch. And so when the change in 21st December 2012 occurred, there was no firework display. There was no volcanic eruption. There wasn't somebody descending from the heavens. And so many, many people were genuinely disappointed because they had in their mind's eye a vision of what would prove to them that the change had occurred. And that's the difficulty, because of those people are still looking for a physical thing. And it's not new. Let's go back to the Bible, to the Old Testament. I don't know if it was Moses or whoever, but would say, God, send me a sign. And in one of them, there was the burning bush. So, you know, they still need, we're asking for physical experience to prove to them. And when you're truly spiritual, you understand that these changes that are occurring are nothing to do with that. This is an energy-based experience. Just as somebody who has the capability of ESP or to be telepathic, that is not physical, that's energy. And from as a very small boy, I always knew that the advancement of humanity on this planet wouldn't be an even smaller transistor or an even smaller microprocessor. It had to be within the brain and the spirit. So we had to develop telekinesis. We had to relearn telepathy. We had to become far more psychically aware. That's the big change that humanity needs to make. Not, oh, my iPod is another half an inch smaller, or, you know, the bandwidth of this. That's not advancement. That isn't where human race needs to go. So basically, the change will be an energetic change, and I'm expecting something in July. And then I think that we'll see other stuff. Yes, I expect people sometimes to wake up in the morning, oh my goodness, I'm different. Or a gradual experience where people, if they look back on their life over the last year or 2 years or 3 years, and they realize just how much they've changed. I mean, I meet people that wake up Monday morning, I'm not eating meat. I'm not drinking cow's milk. I'm not going to do this. And some of these people are changing dramatically. So everyone's different. Everyone's going to be affected differently. No one of us is better than anyone else. But as long as we're making the change, then that's to be celebrated.
Awesome. Thank you. Now, perfectly timed, we have a question from, I think, Britain.
This is the SMS text delivery system.
You're
from
kidding.
BT. Message from 0752138.
No, I don't want it. I don't want this. And thank you.
Somebody sent us the system sending us a message.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you something, and your listeners would. This is really amazing, because one of my volunteers who managed the website for me said, you have a message from GCHQ, right? And I said, oh, that's a total joke. So person said to me, no, it isn't, because I've just looked at the web address, and it isn't a .government.org, it is actually a government website. And I actually got a whole list of stuff from GCHQ to me. So it's very interesting how the system is responding to me. In some ways, I get a few issues, and in other ways, I get support. I think it's representative that these guys are really split. All these agencies are split as to how they would deal with anybody, whether it's David Icke or, you know, Dave Wilcox, whoever it is. And it's just interesting that we've just had that from BT, so that's nice.
It's nice little hello from the boys, yes. Unless somebody just sent a text message to the station
well,
and called another.
I wish they would just do it themselves, because I like it when it's personal.
Yeah, it's much better, isn't it? Hello, Mr. Listener. Okay, Miss Listener. Shake up NWO. Are the djinn, the original inhabitants of Earth, are they now, against their will, being forced to torment people through magic? Very good question.
Okay, nearly right. Certainly, they were on the planet before humans arrived, and therein lies their problem, because they feel they have been dispossessed from the planet, and that is why they have a ongoing, and it's a very strong word, hatred for humanity, because they genuinely feel that humanity stole their planet from them. Are they being controlled by magic? It's not exactly. It's an arrangement. A magician will form an arrangement or an agreement with a demonic entity. These demonic entities live in the interdimensional space. Sometimes when I'm having a consultation with the people and they have a demonic possession, I try to explain where these demons come from. And interestingly enough, most demonic possessions come from people playing with Ouija boards, particularly when they're kids. And then the next largest number is people being genuinely attacked by them, because a member of the family has gone to a magician, paid him money, and then they've targeted that person with a demon. So basically, these creatures already don't like humanity, and if someone is prepared to bring them through the portal, do a deal with them, and they get to torment somebody, then they're quite happy about it. There are 3 to 4 different sorts of djinn that I'm familiar with, and it is, I suppose for someone who's not awake, it's quite bizarre, but there are djinn that love the sea, there are djinn that love the mountains, and a djinn that love the oceans, and the fields. So, you wouldn't send a djinn that loves the sea to attack somebody who lives up on a mountaintop. So the magician generally has a group that he will work with. Yes, it's a roaring trade. It's a big business in some countries.
Excellent. So, wow. All right, here we go. I keep going wow because there's just more and more questions. So, Star Group's DNA. So, this is from a question from Lyra. What star group is connected to our 7th strand of DNA and to the 8th to the 10th too? So, this is the question. Each strand of DNA, is that connected to a different star group? Are people making... Because they say, you know, there's 12 strands, there's 12 signs of the zodiac, there's these councils of 12, there's 12, 12, 12, 12, 12. Really, if we can expand the question to talk about all these different 12s and whether the strands of DNA have a connection with individual star nations. I think that's the question.
Right, well, if the person's name is Lyra or Lyra, who wrote in, that's very interesting. and as you know, JP, that Lyrans have a direct connection to 12th dimensionality. They are one of the core groups of the higher humans. So when I'm consulting with people on this and they belong to a human group that is off-planet, I refer to them as higher human. And that I'm referring to is the fact that their consciousness generally is higher than an Earth human. 12 strands, each strand represents a star group who have at some point in the past connected genetically, spiritually with what we would call the human animal, the human genome. And it's inextricably linked with shape-shifting. Now, I want to be very clear, because there is so much nonsense on the internet. If I see another video of George Bush senior or junior shape-shifting, I think I will just, I don't know what I'll do.
George Bush's weird green eye.
Right, let me explain to people the truth about shape-shifting. Any human, regardless, who is connecting with his or her strands of DNA is capable of shape-shifting. In actual fact, you should be doing it. Now, I need to explain that, because many people are sort of, all they've seen is all the nonsense on the internet. Shape-shifting is not, in the element I'm talking about, is not the physical change of your body. You, when you go to the movies, you sit at the seat and the projector is behind you, and the projector throws an image onto a screen. When you are psychic and you are connecting with your strands of DNA, you are like a little powerhouse, and you emit energy, psychic energy, from your body, particularly from the round the chakras around the head. And about, for European listeners, maybe, I don't know, 1 millimeter, 2 millimeters above your face. For US, maybe a 16th of an inch. Oh, I hope I've got that right. But anyway, a small space above your face, you create an energy haze. And when you connect with a particular strand of DNA, you create an image over that. So your physical face isn't changing, but you are projecting like a holograph. You're projecting an image. Now, if you connect with a reptilian DNA strand, yes, your eyes will go, or appear to go, rugby ball shaped or American football shaped. But if you connect with a higher human group, then your face will change. Now, a number of higher human groups look like the characters from Lord of the Rings, the elves. So very, very white face, take away the pointy ears, but a very, very white face and a longish face, longish drawn down face. Now, I'm not going to start saying, well, this strand is this and that strand is that, because then we're going to get people who are going to only want to connect with certain strands. If I said that X strand was reptilian, I know there'd be a lot of people who said, right, well, I don't want that strand. And the whole point is about accepting all of us, accepting all of the elements, and not to be judgmental. You need 12 strands. You need everybody in there. That's very important, because that's who you really were. So, yes, shape-shifting is okay, and, you know, do it in front of the mirror. I know people who shape-shift, and I know people who've done it in front of others as well. But it's not advisable, because it can freak people out, because human consciousness is not yet at that level where it understands about that. Okay.
Okay. Wow. So this is the DNA. What star groups? Alright, let's go from stars, let's take us right down to Earth and some of the terrible things. What can Americans do? This is from Garage 34. What can Americans do to stop the cops from their violent activities and rage? Peaceful protests seemingly do nothing. The situations are getting worse and escalating. The only thing that seems to be happening is that more and more citizens are turning against each other. It seems to be a divide and conquer thing occurring. More than half the population is afraid of the police and or rocking their own boats. These obvious abuses of power seem not to be nearing the tipping point of causing positive change yet. What will it take? Well, no, I say what will it take. He just stops there, not to be nearing the tipping point. So, yeah, so the question is, what will it take?
Although Garage, let's use the American term, hasn't fully understood the question, it actually gives us a good opportunity to talk about Jade Helm and the relationship between the American people and the military, and the American people and its very diverse police forces. There isn't a block in most towns or cities in America where some girl or boy isn't baking cookies to sell for veterans. The connection between the military and the American citizenry is very strong. That connection does not exist with the police force. And that's striking, absolutely striking. But we've seen that in many Western countries. But we need to develop this, because the questioner is asking, why isn't there a backlash, or why isn't something happening? And I want to talk about how humans on this planet are, in their head, disempowered. Now, if you see a genuine criminal being arrested by a police officer, then assist the police officer, because it's a genuine criminal. But if you see somebody, even if they're a genuine criminal, being brutalized by the police, a sign of how disempowered humans are on this planet is what they do is they take out their cell phones and they film it, because I'm going to put it on YouTube. And that's how disempowered humans are. I tell you what, if I'm on the street and I see a police officer brutalizing somebody, I will physically get in there and restrain the police officer. I'm quite happy to stand in front of a judge and say that police officer was acting beyond his legal remit. But most humans on this planet aren't prepared to do that yet. And this is what I mean by the consciousness level. Now, your questioner it's a good question, because he or she is asking, how many more people are going to die? How much more is going to go on before people wake up?
Exactly.
He's also asking about the difference between peaceful demonstration and violent demonstration. And I had a conversation with a colonel, and I can't say where, but it was an American colonel, who said that they'd had role-playing games about how they would deal with situations where the citizens got a little bit out of hand. The system wants violent demonstrations. If you have a demonstration that's peaceful, the system can't handle it. If you think about when the Shah of Iran in 1979 was overthrown, there were striking similarities to the Woodstock days, the hippie days, because the demonstrators were putting flowers in the barrels of the guns. Now, that is a very, very powerful way to change the energies. If you take bricks and Molotov cocktails, petrol bombs, the system then knows what to do. Every cop, every soldier, right, you know, we're being attacked, so we can defend ourselves. But if you sit down on a road, the police really don't like it. So I don't think I want violent demonstrations. We need to leave it to the military, because if the military in North America are ever asked to shoot on their citizens, it is not going to happen, except in a very few states. The connection between the United States military and its citizens is too strong. That's what Jade Helm was about. It was trying to break the connection between the citizenry and the military. I don't think it'll work, but it does make people perhaps a bit unsettled. So, look, if all the population of my country didn't go to the gas station on Monday and didn't fill up, and then wrote a letter to the leader of the country and said, gas prices are too high, do you know what? They'd come down the next day, because there is no way they could handle that. If everybody stopped going to the local store for one day and said, you know, you're ripping us off, your prices are too high, the prices would come down. People don't understand the power they have. It's got nothing to do with violence. It's about working as a group, working in unity, and exercising your authority through strength. Now, we live on a planet that's dominated by money. So that's how you hit a big corporation. You actually deprive it of its life food, and its life food is money. That's why all corporations bother about is bad publicity. You know, they don't give a damn about anything else, but if they get bad publicity, they'll bend over backwards to try and help. So let's not think about violent action. Let's think about how we can work together to change the system, because otherwise we've just become as bad as they, and we just replace one monster with another. Okay.
Okay, so as a supplemental question to the Jade Helm question, which... from what I can understand, Jade Helm is a test for a piece of software
The Jade is a piece of software.
Yes.
That is basically like one. You know when you see in the movies and they're the battle, the generals are got this holographic display, and they say, okay, let's deploy another bunch of tanks over here. Let's get some drones around here, and they can push all these things around on the holographic display, and the computer will work out what the effects of that. But what Jade Helm is, from what I can understand, is a on-the-ground test of whether the theory in the algorithms inside the computer program actually match real-world effects. And it's a way of tuning the software, the software's idea of what the world's going to be, with the reality of what happens when you do try to execute this on the ground. Am I kind of close to that?
Excellent. Absolutely. The public misunderstood. They thought Jade Helm was designed to put fear into them. It wasn't. It was for two potential possibilities. The first one was to say to the military, stop being so friendly with the citizens. You're going to march through town in a uniform, and you're going to see how different you are to these people, and you will take orders from us, and you've got to stop having these feelings for these people. They wanted to do to the military in North America what they'd done to the cops, because I've said before that you know, it's well known at very high circles that as it stands,
okay, well, I seem to have lost Simon there for a second. Am I losing? No, I haven't lost the thing. Right, okay, so let's just put a little tune on. What should we have? Quick, Tequila Sunrise by the Eagles.
Well, there are a number of very nasty, fake places out there. Try and find people who will teach you that. You know, I did dabble with the idea of doing this, like, free downloads, but then the problem with that is that when you start telling people how they can protect themselves, the bad guys find out about it, and then they you know, they try and get a countermeasure to it. So I prefer to talk to people on a one-to-one basis and do training courses with them, if you like, so that they can protect themselves. Certainly in the case of people who are high-end and have turned their back on their masters and are seeking the path of good, they are always attacked in that way. So, yes, you know, you can devise, and there are machines out there on the market, and, you know, if you haven't got time to go through a training program and you've been attacked now, then yes, if you can find a device that seems to work, get it. But please also work to increasing your vibrational rate.
Right, sorry, Simon. When I played the record, I didn't come back off the air, so they had a few minutes of dead silence. But I've just connected them through that last question. So can we just very quickly recap the Jade Helm situation? And maybe also Operation Maple Resolve, which is a Canadian thing, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't want to recap it too much, because we just get cut off again.
Yeah. So, do you want to talk about Maple Resolve? But essentially, they're programs. Yeah.
Right. Well, the last terrorist false flag that occurred for Canada was a direct threat from one elite group to another, saying that you need to fall back into line. And whatever the Americans do, then the Australians, the British, and the Canadians do in their own way. Canada, of course, is geographically linked to America, and at the moment it's very kindly providing drinking water to a large number of American cities, and I understand that some of the Great Lakes in Canada are, you know, literally dropping as we speak. It's more to do with energy. To be honest, the North American elite don't really care what happens to Canada as long as it doesn't turn against them. And to legitimize an activity taking part or place in North America is really good to get your neighbor to do the same thing, because then it seems that we're all together, there's nothing bad in this, and all good guys do this anyway. So it's a less sophisticated system. It's less sophisticated than the North America, but it is basically designed to show solidarity. Just why Great Britain joined America in the War on Terror. America doesn't like to do things on its own. It likes to draw other countries behind it. So it's the same principle, but not at the same high-tech level.
Right, thank you. Wow, well, that knocked half of our listeners out. Yeah, interesting. Okay, meanwhile, let's go back to DNA, because there are various questions here. Simon, you talked about the 13th strand of DNA, which is necessary to activate the 12.
Mm-hmm.
Where is the 13th coming from? Is it from the 13th dimension? And how does the physical DNA relate to the energetic one? Very good questions.
We talk about 12 dimensions. There are sub-dimensions. A negative force on planet Earth has for a very, very long time sought to understand how DNA in humans work. When you fly a spacecraft, so I'm going to come at it from this angle, when you fly a spacecraft, the speed at which you fly is not limited by the power supply you have or the engine, unless you have a particularly primitive form of power, but it's by your DNA. A reptilian in a spacecraft cannot fly as fast as a higher human. A higher human, using his or her DNA for the piloting of that craft, is capable of flying at a faster speed than a reptilian. That is why the reptilian races went down the route of portal technology, because they weren't able to exceed the speed of light by too much, and that meant they wouldn't get anywhere. So they had to develop and conquer and capture those people who understood about portal technology and use that. So it is one of the most precious and preciously guarded secrets anywhere in the multiverse, and therefore it is encoded. And I often talk about the 13th as a tumbler lock, as an almost infinite series of digits which the Draconis reptilians have failed to crack, because once they crack it, or if they crack it, then they have access to the human genome in terms of its ability to use DNA to travel. And then they would have access to full time travel, because DNA can be used for time travel. That's why so many experiments with children took place on this planet in the 1960s and 1970s and part of the 1980s, because a child's DNA acts differently from an adult's DNA, but we haven't got time to develop that. But the Montauk project on Long Island is predominantly using children with interesting DNA. So all humans have a 13th, which is a tumbler lock, and it draws all the 12 strands together, coordinates them, and then opens them. But like all these things, which are done by divine source, God, but I prefer the word divine, they will happen at a set time in a way that ensures that it doesn't fall into the wrong hands. So I'm afraid that's, again, it's a very long-winded answer, but it was a very important question.
No, it's really good. And this is about everybody's going together. Nobody's going there first, kind of thing, isn't it?
Yeah, okay.
When we... Now, this is from Non. Oh, that must be an Anon. Anon 5394. When we regain our 10 strands of DNA, how will our relationship with animals change, and with fairies and elves and pan, other beings of those realms?
Right. Well, first of all, it is not shocking to say that elves and fairies actually exist. But they're the names that we give them. I prefer the word elementals. So these are creatures that can be very small, as small as 6 inches in height, maybe as small as 3 inches in height, whose primary job is to protect the earth, keep the earth in balance, and look after special sacred natural places. like a sacred grove or something like that, or where an energy node point surfaces on the Earth's planet. So these creatures are real, and not just to be laughed and joked about in joke books. When we connect the strands of DNA, we know we're changing because certain things happen to us. And when we have full control, we will choose what happens. And a lot of people have very close relationships with their pet dog or their cat or what have you. And those people who have what seems like a psychic connection with their animal, you know, you can go through life and have 5 or 6 dogs or 20 cats or whatever it is, but then once in a while you get an animal that seems to know exactly what you're thinking and what you're doing and is totally evolved around you or revolving around you. It is not impossible that somebody who has 12 strands of DNA and is ready to make the shift says, "I am taking you with me." If you can evolve to the point of view that some of these Tibetan masters can evolve to, and you know, it's the old thing about making the rocks move with your mind is absolutely true. If you can reach a point where you can affect physical matter with the energy within yourself, then you can say, "I am taking this animal with me." And if the animal has a psychic link with you, you are basically pulling it like a magnet would pull a paperclip. It is possible. But you know, it's not going to be the norm. So I think for many people, they're going to have to understand that in this cycle, in this lifetime, some of these beloved animals are not necessarily going to come with you.
Right, that's a very, very good answer, Simon. I mean, a lot of people ask these questions, you know, will I have my pets in after the thing? So the question is, so the point is that they will actually evolve along with us, because is that the way I see it is like what they call a chain reaction in physics. When an atom splits, it emits other particles that then cause other atoms to split. Is that the sort of thing that's going on with humans? It's like one person gets it, and then whenever they meet other people, everybody else gets it when they meet them, that sort of thing? Or is it more on a non-local area kind of situation like that?
No, I think you're right. That's why often people say to me, "I'm a very psychic person, I don't have much money, why am I living downtown? Why am I amongst in the ghetto? You know, I'm better than this." And I say, it's precisely because you're a psychic person, you are where you are, because that's where you're needed. And so, you know, when we have something to offer, it isn't like, "Oh, I'm going to write a book," or "I'm going to make a film." Just existing and living means that you are contributing to your side of the balance to maintain this arm from swinging too negatively. Just by living, you are doing something really good. Yes, we affect the people that come into our contact, and we choose how we make that contact, and we choose how well that's going to be. So if we decide that we've already made our mind up about somebody, then that's exactly what's going to happen. You're not going to have any contact, the person's not going to like you. But if you actually project your thought and you project what is going to happen and you play it out, then that often, not always, but often will occur, and it's sometimes quite exciting to change an environment. I actually call it changing the timeline. You know, we're on this planet for a reason. We didn't come here for a holiday. Goodness knows we didn't come here for a holiday. So what did we come here for? Did we come here to keep our nose to the grindstone and pay bills and pay taxes and to breathe polluted air and to drink polluted water? Is that why we came here? Heavens no. We came here because we needed to develop ourselves, and in doing so, understand what we were doing here, and then realize that we can then help others, because we are all in this together. We really are. And if we don't think that, then obviously we're part of the 1% of the elite who aren't in it altogether. They're just in it for themselves. So really and truly, anyone now who's alive at this time on this planet Earth is here for a reason, and we need to go out there and we need to just show by example, and that can be quite simple by your engaged in conversation with somebody, and somebody says something like, oh, what do you think of Fred? You know, oh, Fred, I can't get on with him. You know, he's a real difficult person. What do you think of Fred? And what they expect is the return. Yes, you know, Fred's a really bad guy. I've never got on with him. And instead, why don't you say, you know what? Fred can be the way he is. I can't be responsible for Fred. I can't know what's going on in Fred's mind. If that's the way Fred is, that's the way Fred is. So we show by example that we have a different standard. And that's what I want people to do. I want people to actually show that they are prepared to lead from the front. And it's not about necessarily writing a book or, you know, doing anything like that. It's just in your everyday life, show an example. Every morning you get out of bed, say, I am going to make a difference. And it doesn't matter how small it is, because it is the final pin on the arm of the balance which can swing it, you know. And for every person who doesn't do their bit, that's more work for the rest of us. So I really encourage everybody to be brave and to be true, but be compassionate, and, you know, try and understand that the majority of people who don't listen to this show, not because they don't care, it's because they've been brainwashed. They've been tricked and they've been lied to. So it's our job not to, you know, hammer it down their throats, but to try to get them to understand there is an alternative way to think, and that the truth really and truly is there to be found if they would just, you know, look in a non-traditional way. So, it's a long answer, but it was such a good question, JP.
Was it? So we've got about 3 minutes left, really. Fantastic show there, Simon. Excellent questions. Now I'm just trying to think what would be the best question to ask at the end. So I'm going to have to go. We're going to have to go right into the Twilight Zone. The Keys of Enoch has. This is from White Dove 333. The Keys of Enoch has much info on the axiotonal lines, and as far as I can grok from it, each level has 12 layers or dimensions of frequencies and can be repaired from emotional trauma. I am seeing these layers and hearing them. I want to find out if Simon wants to comment on the axiotonal lines.
Not in 3 minutes. What I will say is that this is one of the highest levels of teaching in Freemasonry. You go to 33 degrees and above. People talk about 33 degree Mason or 32 degree Mason. Well, I tell you what, there are degrees above that which you just don't hear about. In fact, the 33rd degree Mason is the last line of the public Mason. That is the last line that is understood and connected with by the membership. You go beyond that into different groups like the White Council or the Black Council, and these are groups that wield the real power. Now, sacred and secret knowledge is some of them. These things are some of the most guarded within the magic or the esoteric world. Now, the Keys of Enoch, you really are talking high-end stuff here. And we can talk about this at the next time, because we really haven't got enough time. But I noticed that your listener has called him or herself 333, and I think that's quite interesting as well, because 333 is 9, and someone who knows about the Keys of Enoch knows that symbology or numbology is very important. But I guess we've run out of time now, JP.
More or less. Wow, Simon, excellent. We rattled through that. Thank you so much for coming on and connecting our consciousnesses. Have you got agendas for interviews in the next month, Simon?
I've got a few more. I did a wonderful Skype with a live presentation to a Californian theatre. It's a small theatre that just hold a couple of hundred people, and they'd laid it all out. And I had a big screen there, and then they had a microphone at the front. And then what would happen is I did a talk, and then the audience just formed a queue and just came up to the microphone and asked their question, and I answered it in real time. And it was so wonderful, because I did 2.5 hours non-stop, then I had a 15-minute break, and then I did another 2.5 hours non-stop. So that audience sat through listening to me for 5 hours. And this is what we need. We need organizations who are prepared to break the normal routine and to actually engage, because as people will know, I can't fly. I'm terrified of flying, so I do my presentations by that. I've got a few little conferences coming up in Britain, and if anybody wants just to check the website on, then we'll obviously be advertising them where they are. So yeah, ticking along, and you know, if anybody wants to organise something and get me along, then that's absolutely fine.
Excellent. So upcoming on Wolf Spirit Radio, we're coming up with the ODD Collective with Nancy L. Hopkins. Nancy used to be part of the NSA in the 70s, and is electronic warfare officer. Right. So she's got some very, very interesting insights. And then ever beyond tonight, I've got Jim Nichols. If anybody's interested in the Vril, the Nazi UFOs, the whole Aldebrans, and we didn't even talk about the Aldebranians, but let's leave that for the next show. Simon Parks, thank you very much. Any last words for this month?
Well, I just want to thank everyone who listens to this show. You know, thank you. You're special because you have seen through the lies and you understand the truth. Thank you, JP, for doing such a fantastic anchoring job there. You do so much for humanity, JP, and I recognize that. And it's just lovely when we connect decent people around the planet, good people all together, because together we are stronger. So thanks very much, and God bless.
You're very welcome. Good night.
Connecting consciousness.
You're listening to Wolf Spirit Radio.